We will then move on now to the miscellaneous and meeting debrief. We've got a number of blue sheets we should take care of, and then we should talk about the position statement walls. So we'll start with the blue sheets. Commissioner Carpenter submitted one on Pheasant Program Update. Request due date, March. It's medium importance and urgency. Knowledge being requested, past, present, and future considerations regarding revenue potential of pheasant hunting. Commissioner Schmitten?
Chair, in discussing this morning with Commissioner Carpenter, he would like to embellish a little bit more on what he wrote, and he said, given that this is his first time, a couple additions. One would be the focus is on Eastern Washington. Specifically, would like to know the status of the $2 million directed to the Pheasant Habitat Program, as well as the department's progress being made with private landowners and their participation in opening their lands for hunting.
Okay.
And I can give you that.
Yeah, and he was asking for a presentation to the full commission and a report. And I think the presentation is what, the briefing is what he's looking for. Director Anderson?
I did talk with Commissioner Carpenter a little bit about this. And I'm not resistant at all to providing the information to the commission, both from looking at the March agenda and some of the other outstanding issues that we don't even have on the agenda yet, and from the perspective that we are small game division manager position is vacant, will present us some challenges, and from a timing perspective. Certainly willing to provide the information requested. Would like a little bit more time, though, for both of those reasons. Our capacity to get it together in that short a time is really problematic. And then just in looking at the March agenda, we don't have any time set aside there to deal with the performance agreement or the delegation of authority, which are high priorities for me, at least, and I hope are for you. So for those two reasons, I'd like to have the opportunity to talk with the wildlife program and get back to you on a date when we could provide that briefing.
So strike the request due date, put it when next available opportunity, and staff considerations taken into account. Okay, that motion's been made by Commissioner Schmitten. Do I hear a second? Commissioner Jennings seconds. Further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Okay, the next one is from Commissioner Mencken. Did you want to explain this one?
This request was a result of a conversation that I've had with Miranda regards informing not just the new commissioners, which I think need to learn about the complexities of our management process for fisheries in the Lower Columbia River, but as a renewal for the rest of the commission. And the title is An Overview of Main Stem Columbia River Fisheries. Importance is medium. The urgency is medium. Request date is June. In terms of the knowledge or action being requested, it's a presentation on management of major Columbia River fisheries, including salmon, steelhead, sturgeon, and forage fishes. Output requested is a presentation to the full commission for the review of, and I think all of you have that. Shall I read what it is, or you have it?
I think.
For the record, okay.
Okay.
Okay. It's a presentation to the full commission for the review of commission policies and the authority delegated to the director by the commission, the timing of annual commission decisions and dates when individual Columbia River fisheries are due to be addressed, state, federal, and tribal legislative authorities in the role of the Columbia River Compact, the role of conservation in decision-making, including the modeling process used to estimate abundance trends and run size estimates, species listed under the state and federal endangered species acts that are impacted by fisheries, timelines for the prosecution of fisheries, including areas fished and areas excluded, that is, for example, sturgeon sanctuaries, harvest allocation and historic harvest trends for commercial and recreational fisheries, tools for fishery management, for example, safe areas, marked selective fisheries, slot limits, hydroelectric dam transit, gear restrictions, recovery boxes, in-season monitoring of harvest, onboard observer data, enforcement protocols, the role of hatcheries in providing harvest to fisheries, the economic value of commercial and recreational fisheries, and the costs incurred by the department for their management. Now, I'm not pretending that this could be done in a single presentation. It probably should be broken up into several. And I know that the director is over there with his hands to his forehead saying, when the heck are we going to have time to put together such a presentation? We're willing to negotiate with you.
My thought was that I remember when I first joined the commission and we were setting Springer policies every single year, and a lot of us were completely new to the whole management dilemma, the complexity. So we had a number of intensive sessions with Bill Twight and Guy Norman and Cindy LaFleur in which components, these things were discussed. And I remember several meetings of 2.5 hours, not during commission meetings, but because not all commissioners needed the kind of tutorial that we needed. And it brought us up to speed so that we could make informed decisions when the Springer policy was discussed. Well, I realized that five of the current Fish and Wildlife Commissioners were never involved with that Columbia River Springer decision, which was one of the most contentious, difficult ones we faced. And you, in addition to which, we're looking at potentially looking at summer Chinook. We've talked about sturgeon. So it's hard to feel comfortable making decisions without having the big picture, the context, what we do versus what other bodies, decision-making bodies do, what these sideboards are. It's just phenomenally complex. So I thought it would be useful to start the education process for the new commissioners so that you will be given this information in digestible chunks, kind of like we were in 2005 and 2006. Commissioner Jennings?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. The digestible chunks sounds like a reasonable idea, but I could also see the value of like a Thursday afternoon session where we can actually just sort of deal with it all in one setting and maybe have it all gel more as opposed to taking up multiple commission meetings for an hour or two at a time. Either way works for me, but just want to say I can also look at how we dealt with the wolf question and really, you know, that gave us a chance to focus on that, you know, get into that topic in detail. And not that I'm suggesting three all-day sessions, that's not, you know, but one half day or something to help might be a different, might be an alternate approach than multiple sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is an option, a half day workshop to get through most of this information. And I think I still have the document that we used when the commission met, the Washington Commission met with the Oregon Commission to just go through the information on the stock status and management in the past, and it was an attempt to get at this big picture of everything that the two commissions have to coordinate on. I still have that document, so I would think that this would not require a lot more than updating that that background document that was presented. Do you remember that meeting in St. Helens, I think it was? Director Anderson?
Yes, I do. The list of things that Commissioner Mankin spoke to and that are in the green change, I think, are, from my memory, are there's more there than what was in that briefing. So, obviously, I appreciate the offer to allow us to take a look at the request, maybe come back in March or April with the proposed approach in terms of providing the information. I think the suggestion from Commissioner Jennings about trying to get as much as we could into one discussion is probably a good one to understand, because there's, as you say, a lot of pieces that fit together, and if you break that up in time, it's hard. It's, well, at least for some of us, it's hard to remember all that. So let us take a look at that, and we'll come back with a proposed approach to provide the information that you're requesting.
Okay. So we've got this motion on the table. We will allow the director to come and present to us a practical way to present us with this information. We need a second. Commissioner Schmidt is seconding the motion. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Okay. Commissioner Schmidt, you have another one on spot shrimp.
Thank you, Chair. The topic is the Puget Sound spot shrimp. This was a subject that I actually submitted about a year and a half ago, and we just had too many priorities at the time. We had a preliminary review done by Rich Childer at our Marine Fish Committee meeting this last Thursday, and it is the committee's view that time is ripe for a full review of the Puget Sound spot shrimp fishery for the commission. Chair, the relevant pieces of the blue sheet. The title is Comprehensive Review of Puget Sound Shrimp Fishery and Commission Policy. Is a recommendation from the Fish Committee. The importance is high, urgency is medium, suggested due date April. There is some flexibility depending on, it's about the end of the legislative session and whatever happens, but the specifics requested for the shrimp fishery, present a review of status of recreational commercial fisheries and current Fish and Wildlife Commission policy, general biology of the species harvested, the magnitude of the coast-wide harvest, allocation by treaty, non-treaty, recreational, and commercial, status of stock, enforcement protocols, and fisheries values. The output would be full commission briefing, highlighting the fishery policy and management issues that may require policy guidance. And just a note on that, it's the last policy was done in 2003. The previous one was in 2000. If you go to the website, you'll find 2000, not 2003. And it's apparent that although these aren't major issues, it could use some fine-tuning. And I'll stop there. There is a lot of interest in what happens next.
Okay. So Commissioner Mankin?
A motion.
Yeah, and I think a significant portion of it has already been done by Rich in what he presented to us. So, and I don't see this as a lengthy presentation to the commission. I think it could be done very concisely.
Okay. So we have the motion on the table. Do I hear a second? Okay, the motion's been seconded by Commissioner Mankin. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
So we haven't really heard from the director as to whether or not April seemed like a reasonable time frame. Usually we ask that question.
Okay, Director Anderson?
That sounds reasonable to me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, say no. Motion carries. We're just loading you down with jobs, your tasks. Okay, one more. And this is one that I want to put on the table. I'm calling it Get Out West Program. Medium importance, medium urgency, requested due date, April or soon after, maybe June. Knowledge, action being requested, information on Governor Gregoire's initiative to increase outdoor tourism, get youth engaged in outdoor activities, and enhance the conservation ethic in our state. And then output requested just a briefing. So the governor explained this initiative of hers during our very short annual meeting with her. I think we can expect another annual meeting this year. I'd like to have something to talk with her about. I think that there's pieces of this that we can really contribute to. The Big Tent Committee wants to use this larger umbrella initiative as the context for us to promote youth fishing, perhaps, and all the other pieces of this that make sense for us to be engaged in. And already we just saw today in the marketing plan for freshwater fishing. That's something we need to talk with the governor about because it fits perfectly in what she's trying to promote. We want to see what else we can do and how we can package what the agency's already done to gain some traction here through the help of the governor's office. During the conversation that Brad Smith and I had with Marty Lorsch and with Dr. Anderson, there was a number of tasks laid out by the governor's staff, and whether they have the wherewithal to follow through is to be seen, but we certainly have the wherewithal to pursue some things. So this would just give the full commission more of the details that we got in talking with the governor's chief of staff, and give you the sense of the tasks that her staff have laid out. Director Anderson, what do you have?
Yeah, we're already engaged in the task. In fact, I had Darren Friedel, who's sitting back there, put together a list of the things that we're doing that would fit under that umbrella or that big tent. Mm-hmm. And obviously the inland fish marketing is part of that, but we have a list of things that we're doing that fit nicely into that initiative, and so we could certainly provide that.
Very doable. The other thought was that Commissioner Carpenter wanted to invite Brad Thompson, who manages a program for nymphs, encouraging youth to become fishers. He would like us to invite Brad Thompson to come in April to speak with us. And if it's possible to do this in April, we could combine those. We could invite him in to talk with us about the federal activities if we could do this in at the same time. It might make sense. But we'll explore that.
Brad works for U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Chair?
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's maybe I think it's maybe a little premature to bring Brad in on this. I think we need to highlight our own activities before we begin to involve any of the federal agencies on this.
Okay, so we'll set that one aside for the time being. So I've got this motion on the table. Do I have a second? Commissioner Schmitten has seconded. Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion carries. Okay. Any other blue sheets? Doesn't sound like it. Okay, the next item is the draft commission position statement, Wolves in Washington, draft version February 4th, 2012. This is the first time we've had the opportunity to talk about this document and a little background on it. There was among us, I think, while we were considering adoption of the Wolf plan, a feeling that we would like to articulate a somewhat broad statement about how we feel about the whole Wolf recovery issue, all the attending challenges, both during the recovery period and during the period in which wolves have been recovered and are no longer listed. We wanted to just express more of our thinking and our feelings about this whole subject. It was difficult to do that in the context of our consideration of the Wolf Recovery Plan, because that was a required document that by necessity had to be an expression of the best available science. A number of us, wanted to distill and clarify and articulate a broader message to the public about how we think about wolves for the long term. So we generated this document. A number of us have contributed. The executive committee looked at it. But this is, and now this version has been reviewed by staff. So this is the distillation of the executive committee's consideration of the subject, as well as the director, Nate Pamplin, Bill Freymeyer, all taking a look at this. And above all else, I guess we need to send the message that this, in our view, does not conflict at all with the recovery plan that we just adopted. There's no intent to say anything that would be inconsistent. We're hoping to engage in some wordsmithing for a little while this morning, perhaps, and then consider more wordsmithing, more thoughts and discussion in March in Moses Lake, with the hope that we'll be able to adopt it in April. So I would open up the discussion now. Any thoughts, Commissioner Jennings?
One process thought. I think when we do this next month, it would probably be good if we could actually pull the document up on the wall and sort of so we can all make sure we're talking about the same phrase and what it might look like if we struck it through or added it or changed it. So just process. Okay. I have had a chance to read through it. I have a series of minor editorial comments to make it a little bit more readable, not big. My big sort of reactions are under the actual guidelines and objectives, which is sort of the meat of our instructions to the director of the department. And when I look at it, I'd like to make sure that those are kept at a high level and not quite. There's a couple of examples where I sort of, from where I sit, get in the weeds on instructing as opposed to setting the overall policy, or the narrative that's there best fits in some of the other parts of the document as opposed to the actual guidelines. An example, and it's on page 5, under the guidelines under maintain positive and effective working relationships. I just look at that second sentence and wonder if we need that second sentence there as a whole. Maybe a better example is on page 6 on the second bullet, actively engage in management aimed at reducing wolf impacts on big game populations. So to me, that's a sufficient guideline. The way we have it now is including monitoring the wolf population, locations, effective responses. And I think that's all what we've talked about other places. Don't know if it needs to be reiterated in our actual guideline and policy statement here, or objective statement here, as opposed to the narrative that's in the front of the document saying, here's a bigger picture, here's what we're looking for. But
okay. Okay, and we'll just take some comments for now, and we're not making any decisions. We're just considering this. Commissioner Caney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have to say this is, to me, a really great document, and I appreciate it. I was going to say from a conservation organizational standpoint, but I realize I consider conservationists as environmentalists, hunters, and farmers and ranchers. So I really don't even like that term to single out the environmental community, but I think this goes a long way to bridge a lot of gaps, I guess, between different groups. I bring as a point on page 2 where you talk a little bit about the statistics of 74% of the residents in Washington were for wolf's return. That's been a number that's been passed around for a long time in this issue, and yet it goes on to explain some of the other numbers that I think are as equally as valuable, that 65% accept lethal removal of wolves if they're causing loss to livestock, and 63% accept hunting of wolves once they've reached recovery levels. And I really believe that the environmental groups that truly understand the wolf situation know that. But I also believe there's a lot of folks under an environmental flag, if you would, that need to be reminded of that continually, because, and this document does it very well, I think. And to me, that's a very, very important thing for the commission to promote, is that eventually, as they're recovered, they'll probably need to be killed. And I don't even use the word managed, because Joe Pione, in an article when he was talking about the wolves on the Caldwell Reservation, said that they will decide what to do and how to manage them. And let me be perfectly clear. He said, manage means killing. You know, and sometimes that's not accepted in certain environmental circles, but the quicker it is, the quicker that we'll have this real dialogue between environmentalists, hunters, conservationists, farmers and ranchers, because they are a unique species, and they will reach a point where they're causing trouble, if not already, and so that's an important thing to have in the document. On page 4, again, I think all of this document is very well done. There might be some wordsmithing. The part I liked in the first section was excessive numbers of wolves are not conducive to acceptance of wolves. A very strong statement that, again, starts to try to bridge that gap between you can't just have unlimited number of wolves in our state. There'll come a time when management will have to kick in. And then that the department should establish a population management objective for wolves that will prevent relisting but reduce the risk of unacceptable levels of conflict is also a good statement, as long as we remember that that happens post delisting. And that might be like a wordsmith there that might clarify it to that environmental block, that we're not talking about this so much now as after they've been recovered.
Yeah, and that is under the post-delisting management plan subsection. So
yeah, and again, I'd just like to say that I think the basis of this and the need for this is really important, and the quicker we can get this out and approved, you know, with proper thought put into it of how it's worded, it just goes a long way for, I think, a lot of people in rural communities and in urban communities to start this process of coming together, realizing what wolf implementation, wolf recovery and implementation means in Washington. Mm-hmm. So I commend everybody that, you know, worked on it.
Great. Thank you. that's very encouraging feedback. Commissioner Duvia?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I don't really have the wordsmith for it, but and reading through here, I would like to try to, when we talk about the ungulates a couple of times, I think this document should at least bring to the public that we are making other management decisions based on preparing ourselves for the entry into the ecosystem of the wolves and help them understand, as we just did in the Selkirk Elk Plan, we're reducing the antlerless harvest significantly to increase the population to make it more healthy. And also we want to increase the number there, but part of it is because we have a new part of the system in town that we're trying to accommodate. So the fact that it wasn't totally clear that we really are concerned to make sure that we pre-plan and come out of the wolf introduction with healthy populations. And so we bring it up two or three times in here, but I would like to look at it and see if I can add that clarity a little bit to that. But I think just on document in general, as we have meetings with the people on wolf situations, there still is a significant confusion of our plan. Is the wolf plan or is it a recovery plan? And this document will help, I think, clarify that that was phase one and we're now going towards phase two, and that we do listen and we are aware of issues. So I think that would help the public understand that we are paying attention and we are got another phase yet to go. So, and thirdly, I think we need to, this would be an assistant to the department and staff in terms of drafting that new plan, and we start on a long road to get the second phase done.
Okay, any other comments on this? I wanted to add one more thing about why I think that this is so important. I heard, again, I mentioned Gordon Orion's presentation at a conference I went to about a week ago, and his class had done a grand study of recovery plans developed under ESA. And they compared a sample of I'm not sure how many plans of the 1,000 that have been written, but a vast array of plans, and came to the conclusion that long ones are not necessarily better than short ones. And when I heard him say that about a week ago, I thought, you know, there's something unsatisfying about a plan that is 400 pages long, because it's just so filled with things, so filled with information. It's hard to get at the essence and get at the take-home message, and it's hard to comprehend. And I think that that's what Dr. Orion's class found when they looked at the very long plans. And he mentioned that some of them are just so long you don't know what to take away from all of this massive compilation of information. And that I feel that way, frankly, about our wolf plan. It was very, very long, filled with lots and lots of good information, but I longed for something that distilled it down to a take-home message. Now, that wasn't the purpose of that recovery plan, but that is the purpose of this document, is to just distill it down and articulate a broader message. Commissioner Jennings?
And again, I think without having the document in front of us as a group, it's really hard to wordsmith whatever suggestions, but I did want to come back to a philosophical point that Commissioner Keeney touched on, and that was, you know, at the top of page 4, that highlighted section and the sentence he read, therefore the department should establish a population management objective. And one edit I'm looking for is to actually drop the word population there. I think we want a management objective. But when I hear population management objective, I hear cap. And I think that might be one of the tools we end up with, but I don't want to presuppose that that's where the department will end up as a management approach. So as an example, though, minor wordsmithing out there.
Okay. That'll be a good topic. That came out of the desire to address those who were concerned that we didn't have any concept of a maximum number of wolves that we would accept in the state, and that a number of our constituents were coming to us saying, you know, we just don't have any confidence that there's going to be any ceiling, any ultimate maximum for the state. And I don't know that that's, I don't know what exactly the right language is to get to that point of articulating we will have some management objectives. We are not considering an unmanaged,
right,
infinite.
And I'm right there with you. I'm just trying to not put too many tight parameters around what that management might look like. It might be at the PAC level. It might be at the regional distribution level. It may be at the overall density level. It may not be a population estimate management objective. And that's the only point I'm trying to make by taking the word population out. Not that we don't want an optimum level of wolves set from a variety of perspectives of what optimum means.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Commissioner Caney?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd like to agree with Commissioner Jennings there, because that word population cap doesn't jive, I guess, with how the plan was developed. But we all recognize that there needs to be at some point a how far do you go in at, you know, some level, whether it's by region or by breeding pairs or whatever. And I want to just say one other thing, that this kind of a document and effort, an outreach effort even, is very important, not just with ranchers, hunters, environmental groups. In my spare time, I'm lucky enough to teach some substitute teaching in the OMAC school district, in Okanagan school district. And oftentimes I get called in for biology. I'm not sure why, but I like teaching it. And, you know, there's a whole, you know, the youth of our state are who are going to inherit what we now are on this journey to do, and that is to have, you know, an acceptance of wolves, but just, you know, not at a detrimental level to ungulate populations and ranchers and et cetera. Those youth, for the most part, and it's across, a very good cross of folks that are from the reservation, folks that are from ranch families, folks that are from more of the urban areas, they tend to maybe not understand what we're even dealing with here. And so I know as I teach this, or I talk about this, if I'm asked to, I try to bring that into the play, that this is what we're talking about. It's not like the new movie Gray, where wolves are the enemy, and it's not like the pictures you see on the wall often of just that wolves are very friendly, huggable creatures, you know, and a lot of kids think that. So the more important, this is a very important document to start getting that word out, that this is a species, it's an important species to have back, yet it's going to need to be, quote, managed. And when they hear that, they're okay with that, you know. Some of them flinch at the idea that someday there'll be a hunting season for wolves, but they need to know that, need to understand it. This document does a good job.
Right. Okay. There was one other topic that I wanted to add to the consideration when we talk about this in March. When I met with Senator Hargrove on Thursday, he asked that we seriously consider limits on translocation.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
That we have a full discussion of the issues surrounding translocation and perhaps articulate some sideboards for that, or just have a discussion of it? So I know there's competing interests and divergent views. It's a tool in the toolkit in our recovery plan. But to the extent we've talked about it in the past, we've recognized that we're a long way from taking that step. And if we did want to take that step, we would have to go through SEPA review and a lot of public process that would be very divisive. So it's not expected that we will be using that tool in the near future, but there was certainly no agreement that we eliminate the tool. From, in fact, strong statements that we not eliminate it. So we would like, I'd like to add that to the mix when we discuss it in March, just maybe making some statements on translocation and the limits, the expectation we have in regards to ever implementing that. He also was interested in our coordination with the National Park System in the Olympics, his district. He wanted us to go on the record in some fashion, making it known to the to our federal collaborators that we would perhaps be opposed to the translocation of wolves by the federal government. This is a concern. I just want to acknowledge that, pass that along. I can't speak to the likelihood of that happening, but it was his concern that he wanted me to relay to the commission. Maybe we can talk about that in March. Okay. All right. Good discussion. Anything else on this? I've got to get used to calling it a position statement. This is really, I think, the first time we've done something other than a policy. I want to make sure that everyone recognizes this is not at all inconsistent with our policies articulated in the Wolf Conservation and Management Plan we just adopted. Okay. Anything else for this last item, meeting debrief? Oh, one other thing with the delegation agreement and performance agreement, delegation of authorities agreement with the director. The concept there is to try to have an orientation for the new commissioners in March that would precede the delegation agreement discussion. So that, I think this sounds logical to me, so that the new commissioners get a, first of all, a sense of what their jobs are, what their role is, before they start handing over their power to the director. That was the concept. So we are going to get to the orientation in March, I hope. We'll try to do that on Saturday, I think, after all the hearings are completed. Director Anderson, do you think that's feasible?
It is if we eliminate some of the things that are on the Saturday portion of the March agenda. I think that essentially what we have in the revised agenda is that there are 3-year hunting package, mm-hmm. along with a few of the normal preliminary things that we do, consumes Friday. It's the whole day. So right now on Saturday we have Upper Columbia River Fisheries Enforcement live wildlife rule briefing and public hearing, proposed land transactions, cougar hunting, which is a briefing, commission position statement that we just spoke to, open public input, commission committee reports and miscellaneous debrief with, if, and those items take you until 12:05. So, knowing that we're in Moses Lake in March, I guess the question for the commission is how late on Saturday do you want to work? And if adding the orientation and the delegation of authority on top of what's already here sounds doable, we can do that. Obviously, that's going to stretch your day out till 2:30, 3 o'clock with, and I know how it always seems like a good idea at the time,
but until you're there.
Having us work a long day and Saturday, especially when there's travel involved, it doesn't always seem like a good idea when we get there. So I'm just cautioning that we not overextend ourselves on Saturday, given that that doesn't always work out real well, and the degree to which everyone will be attentive, fully attentive, on a Saturday afternoon after having a long Friday and Saturday morning doesn't seem to me to be a high likelihood. So my suggestion, I don't know if there are things that I just mentioned that are on the Saturday agenda that you would be open for continuing until April.
Yeah.
But I think that's the dilemma that we have.
Well, the enforcement, the first item came off the agenda. So, but that on the agenda side,
20 minutes.
Right. Well, it's uncomfortable to keep putting off orientation because if I were sitting in there, Commissioner Caney's seat, I'd want to know what my job is and what the rules are that I have to comply with. And I'd be anxious. I mean, we did get our orientation fairly quickly when I joined the commission. It was scheduled for this month, but Commissioner Carpenter was not available. So now we're trying in March. Maybe, what about Thursday afternoon? Can we do an orientation? All we would need was counsel. And I think... staff? Director Anderson?
I'm at a Pacific Fishery Management Council the 7 days preceding Friday. And it's down in Sacramento. So me getting to a Thursday meeting is, I mean, if you want me there, is going to be difficult. I think this is, if the orientation and the delegation of authority conversation is an hour and a half, if I'm just throwing that out there, I think we can, and if we started at 8 o'clock on Saturday instead of 8:30, I think we can do those two things and still have our meeting end at a reasonable time.
Okay.
So if that sounds okay, we'll make that accommodation. You do have 60 minutes down here for the discussion on the position statement. You may not need quite that much. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Commissioner Caney?
Is the orientation for the entire commission or just a new member?
It would be for everyone who wants to take part in it. I encourage commissioners to do it every year just as a refresher. So we take up some of the ethics rules, the procedural rules, the operating principles, our operating rules. And so I think we could do it in an hour with the delegation. It just makes sense to me that before we delegate to you these things, we understand that we had been given these authorities by the initiative, by the people. So it logically makes sense to me. So we'll try to, we'll figure it out. We'll fit it in. And I'll talk with Commissioner Carpenter about it, too. Make sure he can be available this time. All right. Anything else? Everyone, meeting is adjourned. Have a safe trip home.